And that would be Joel, recovered compulsive overeater. So thank you. Nico did a worldwide search for a speaker for this session. And I saw me walking down the street and he said, hey, you speak Thursday. So thanks, Nico. I just wanted to kind of start off with a little bit about what this program has done for me, because this has been a crazy little period of time that I've been in the midst of. We had two dogs that were almost 16 years old. 5 weeks ago, we took one dog in for a vaccination, and he said, oh my gosh, please put your dog down immediately. It's going to have a horrendous heart attack. Bouncing around, happy dog, but we had to say goodbye. 4 weeks later, our other dog was almost all, they were littermate sisters. The other dog all of a sudden couldn't stand on its hind legs, and we called up the rehab specialist, and they just said, no, your dog's had a really good life. So after all this time with these two dogs over 15 years, we had to say goodbye. And it's a really different type of a household here. We're used to these dogs being in charge of the household. So then in the midst of that, we came down with COVID. Now we've all fully vaccinated and stuff like that, and we got hit really hard with COVID 2 weeks ago. And I'm going, oh, boy, now I understand why people really struggled with this, even though I was fully vaccinated. We were both pretty sick in bed for a good week and, the crazy symptoms of that. And then last night I had a 2-hour long MRI. And they were so funny about it. They said, go home. You'll see the results right away because they're already looking at your MRI. And my left hand and arm is not ready to function. And this has been kind of going on and building. But they did the MRI, and I'm reading it last night because they say you could be drawn MRI now. And I came up as normal. Everything is normal. So I know it's a shock, but yeah, some people still consider me kind of a normal person. Right, Richard? And but what's really cool is I'm now working with somebody that's a neuromuscular specialist that's also in psychiatry. So it makes sense. I'm a crazy person. It's good I'm working with somebody that also has a psychiatric background. So that's just, and all through this, I'm just accepting it. And that's part of the strength of this program. So I've been in program now over 16 years, I think it's been. I'll show you how I used to be. I'm going to stop my video. You can see when I was at over 300 pounds. And I also did the period of time when I was just, you need to lose weight. You just stop eating. I was down to about 160. So it was not unusual for me to fluctuate that much throughout my life. So had a great upbringing, but food was a big part of it. I did struggle with weight even as a kid. I went through that phase of the husky pants section of JCPenney, which was always embarrassing. Why did they have to have a section in boys? It's called the husky boys section. Very popular in school and stuff like that. A great life. But with my, because I struggled with weight, my mom went to Weight Watchers to get hints on what to do with my weight, which I thought was pretty cool. So, very supportive. It was always felt a little bit different, kind of out of touch. I had some bullies in school that used to always pick on me because I was like overly sensitive. So I really kind of shut down and didn't want to share my feelings or anything like that. So I was pretty good about that, but also always feeling less than. Sometimes I think we were the first family that had a child with severe mental retardation that remained within the household. And so that was my little brother, and my parents just said, hey, he's part of our community. And by the way, Joey, you take him with you, to wherever you go. So I also felt a little bit out of sync because of that, but that was also part of a wonderful upbringing that I had with my parents. So there was also kind of thinking about trying to get validation and stuff like that, that I'm okay. I'm a normal person. You'll find this funny. Kids through high school, everything like that, even into college, sex was a big discussion. Never was in my head. I just figured I was asexual. So ended up after college, I was living in Boston and I had a coworker that finally one day, the boss, who just said, hey, you know, why don't you go out with us guys after work? And they took me to a gay bar. Instantly fell in love with somebody, tumultuous relationship. And then a year later, I met somebody else and we're still together 47 plus years later. So, and it's one of those relationships that always gets better. You know, we kind of always look at each other going, do we deserve this? You know, why are we getting along so well? So, and so we're very appreciative of that. Also, we always joke it's because nobody else would put up with this. So, had amazing career opportunities, things I never would have expected to be done, opportunities being on the national stage within my field, and was really fortunate with all that type of stuff. But that started also going into the head. And then I started thinking more than of myself. Of course, at the same time, I was thinking less than myself, and the extremes were outrageous. So the controlling factor, I had to be in charge of everything because, you know, why isn't it like perfect like what it was yesterday? So I got to be in control of everything. And lo and behold, the eating behaviors snuck back in that I would have had as a kid. So how do I deal with it? I would do the binge, get, as you saw, over 300 pounds a couple of times. And then, oh my God, I got to deal with this. And I would just stop eating, or I would do this ridiculous exercising, and then I would just crash the other way. Huge swings in my weight. So until, you know, one of the best diets I was ever on was eating 2 pounds of cheddar cheese each night. That was all my meal was. So, and, you know, it was just, where did this ever, I came from Wisconsin. So, I mean, that was perfect, made perfect sense for me. I lost a lot of weight eating a 2 pound chunk of cheese. So, so the, I then came across I kind of came right before I came into rooms here, I developed a bone disease called osteonecrosis. And I had a surgeon at the time that just said, why would I ever bother operating on you? You're just off the charts. It would be a waste of my time. This is what about 20 years ago. You should be in a wheelchair anyway. So, well, prove a fact, you know, I came back 2 months later because I hadn't eaten for 2 months and he didn't recognize me. We had started having surgeries and I've had lots of surgeries ever since then. So my buddies here have seen me in all sorts of crutches and whatever crazy stuff and neck braces. So, but because of that process, my other half had discovered AA 2 years before at this time. And he just came to me one night and he said, you know, your relationship with food is exactly like my relationship was with alcohol. And drove me to my first meeting. And unfortunately, it wasn't there. But then drove me upon another meeting. And that was the Wednesday night fellowship meeting that I've been part of ever since. So that's how I got into OA. And of course, when I first came in here, you know, I was going to learn how to do this program and do it better than all of you. And, you know, because clearly there was a lot of flaws in the program. And yeah, I mean, I used to sit there with the food thoughts going the whole time going, oh my gosh, but I have to share. So I used to write down my share before I came because I wanted to do it perfectly. So of course I was never listening, but eventually I started to listen, which was probably one of the first surprises. The other surprise that was that I started to have, you know, people were always talking about their spiritual connection. I'm going, yeah, okay, sure. You know, this sounds a little weird, all of you folks. But if you had that connection, let me just listen to you. And if that higher power is speaking, hopefully it was speaking through you. And I started to learn to listen. And I was really hearing things from all of you, no matter where you were in your process. Even if you had just walked in that day for the first time in an OA meeting, you had something I was hearing. Now, I thought I would never have that, you know, but hey, that's pretty cool. And there's something about the, you know, you probably have heard about this, wait for that miracle. because at some point it's just going to sneak in. Well, my miracle kind of snuck in through the back door. And okay. Oh my gosh, where's all that time? So the big magic that I got hit with was all of a sudden realizing that me accepting God was in charge, magic. And that was pretty cool. All of a sudden I had this higher power that was speaking to me, who, by the way, is a comedian. And who, by the way, would say, I've always been here, but your mind was so full of gook, you know, you couldn't hear me. You know, I've been whispering away like crazy. And ever since then, I've had this wonderful connection. So this whole thing about gratitude and, you know, what we'd like to focus on for Thanksgiving. What am I really grateful for? I am so grateful now that my higher power says, pause, you know, okay, you know, you have expectations. You're just going to get full of resentments for every expectation that you have. Just pause. Something not going right. Somebody's kind of pissing you off. What am I doing? My higher power says, what are you doing, Joel? You know, are you causing this, you know? Or then my higher power also says, what about that person? What is that person going through? And that is just a wonderful gift now. I used to just be this immediate reaction and anger and resentments would build up. And now that just, my higher power is now just saying, hey, let it go, which is so cool. I just love that. So there are just so many things. So that connection with my HP has just been wonderful. It's just amazing that I still have this wonderful relationship and we just, you know, how that keeps going. The serenity has come in for this program. It's just been amazing. Things that I find myself, I was always a caring person. That was just kind of part of my field. But I'm now just more willing to share that caring on a balanced way. Not in control, not better than. But just that we're all equal and we all wish could share with each other. And that I just think is such a wonderful well-being. How do I show my appreciation, expressing my gratitude? You know, I've been always pretty supportive, but I think I'm more aware now how important it is in communicating with others, being grateful for what they're doing, really listening to everybody here in the rooms and around me, that something is being said that is important for me to hear and to help me through the day. This whole thing about what I've been given, the gifts I've been given through this program, how important it is for me to pay that forward. One of the surprising things was, I never thought I could be a sponsor. I thought, me, you know, totally out of control. You know, I couldn't be a sponsor. I became a sponsor. I finally found somebody and I said, I really need to be a sponsor. So can you sponsor me and help me through that process? And we've been at it now for, you know, a few years, and that's just been wonderful. And I have currently two sponsors that just, I always say, I'm not your sponsor. You're not my sponsee. We're a team. And that, you know, we're there supporting each other. I get so much out of that. And obviously volunteering, doing service. I've been your grumpy treasurer for Intergroup for the last 2 years. So send that $5 today, you know, as a contribution. Love that money. So things that I would never would have done in the past. I don't know anything about fiscal stuff, but I became willing to try things. You know, when somebody said, nobody's volunteered for treasurer, you want to do it? Sure, you know, I can make it work. That is what's pretty cool about this. I wanted to share with you, earlier, I watched the CBS morning program, and every Monday morning, Steve Hartman has his kids on, and they kind of talk about a word. And this week, they were talking about gratitude. And one of the things that he, to help his kids understand, and, you know, as gratitude is part of the day, the young daughter said, so dad said, put 10 pennies in your left pocket. And every time you have a sense of gratitude, take one penny and put it in your right pocket. Because so many of us go through going, oh, well, you know, everything, grumble, 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 and not looking for the positive things throughout the day. And the little girl says, and you know what? Before I know it, my 10 pennies are all in my right pocket. And I just think, I mean, just that's that wonderful thing about just that different outlook that we get within this program. So, and I would think that
that's time, Joe.
And that's time. So do you want a topic, Lori?
Well, I think we're on gratitude. I think you pitched it really nice. Well, thank you.
I was just thinking, what changes am I grateful for that, or are you grateful for that have come about because of working this program?
Okay.
So, focusing more background on this program. So.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Joel. Yay. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with all of us and in OA and your life. And